the family, but I'm going to wait and do that next Sunday. Got so many out that wanted to hear it. So I'm going to deal with something else this morning. And after you go through a deal like this with Brother Dunn, and this, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this word or not, but in reality, you know, he's had a stroke. I don't know what you've heard, but that's pretty evident that's what it is. In the passing with Brother Hare has been so sick. He's been so sick. I mean, it's been about 7 or 8 years that he's been on dialysis. They got a dialysis deal to do dialysis at night while he slept, and he's really, really, really been a sick man, and he's died, I want to talk to you on a little lesson this morning. I want to talk to you about hope. About hope this morning. I read a book several years ago. Really, it's a very good book. Yeah, I'm going to have that off. Is that too much for y'all? Just turn all them fans off. Amen. Now, Cotton and Brother Groover and Brother Andy, you can't get too cold for them. You've done any driving with them, they set that air conditioner on as low as it'll go and turn the fan up as high as it'll go. So, you know, then I see everybody else, they're all bundled up. So we got, I can give you some relief, okay? And I read a book by a Jewish rabbi years ago. It was a very good book. It's really a commentary on the book of Job. And the title of the book was Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. He done as good as you could do from his aspect trying to talk about that. Although most Jews that you deal with, ain't hardly any Jews around here, so I know y'all have not dealt with many of them. But your typical Jew is not like a Jew that you read about here in the Bible. Matter of fact, the majority of them would be, except a small group, and really they're agnostics. Don't know whether there is a God or not. So, generally, it's hard to find deeply religious Jews, and if you do, they're generally the Orthodox or the Hasidic Jews that are very religious. But outside the typical Jew, you know, that you run into, it's not that way. But yeah, it was a good book. But you always have questions during times like this with why has this happened to me, or why is this happening to our family? And hate to tell you, but if you live long enough in this world, it don't matter how much faith you have or how close to God you are. And man, everybody here knows I'm a faith preacher. Amen. Boy, you couldn't be here very many services not know I'm a faith preacher. I'm not a negative guy. I'm positive. Amen. And I preach that. I stretch for that. I believe that. I try to reach you to attain that. But that ain't all the story. When you read the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and these folks are doing, let's turn and read that before we go to our passage I'm going to go to. 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews talks about verse 39. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Man, I like that. How about you? That's faith, ain't it? That'll happen, don't it? We believe it, don't it? Amen. We stretch for that, don't we? But the passage don't end there. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might have a better resurrection. Others had trials of cruel mockings, scourging, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in caves, in dens and in the caves of the earth. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, had not received the promise. None of them had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God, having provided some better thing, that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now while you're standing, in 1 Corinthians 15 and 19, where I want to start my lesson from today. If in this life only we had hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Will you pray with me today? Dear God, we love you. We pray that you would help us today, God. Touch my mind today. Dear God, in Jesus' name. Lord, help me, God. Inspire my lips and my heart. Oh, that I could instill some hope in somebody today. Dear God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I know you're able. Pray that you would help us, God, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. You know, Job asked a question centuries ago. Job, I don't know whether you know this or not, but Job is the oldest book in the Bible. Job is the oldest book in the Bible. Job had no book to refer back to. He could not refer back to what Moses written because he lived before Moses. You know, Moses was the first one to send the record out, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Matter of fact, when God took Moses up on the mountain, Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. And he said, I'm going to put my hand over you. There's a place by me here at this rock. And the Bible said, and Moses saw the hinder parts of God. That don't mean that Moses saw God's rump. Because God didn't even have a rump at that time. But what Moses saw in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And all of the creative works of God, God began to inspire Moses to write. But when Job takes place in the book of Genesis. Before Genesis was written, we don't really know where. Somewhere in Abraham's time or before Abraham's time or right after Abraham's time. He makes no mention of nobody or nothing. So Job is just Job. And Job, when he's going through the midst of his trial, and his children's gone, his wealth is gone, and his health is gone, Job asked this question. If a man die, shall he live again? And Lord told Job, I'm going to give you a little lesson here. And he looked and he saw a tree. And the trees looked kind of like our trees. The leaves have went off. And the old tree goes into whatever they go into, what we'd consider like death. All the vitality's gone out of it. Job is looking at that tree, and that tree is by some water. And something hits Job's mind that after winter passes, and winter will pass after winter passes, you keep looking at that tree. After a while, the little buds start coming on it. The little old leaves will start coming. And it won't be long till spring will be in full glory. That tree that was dead, that the leaves were gone off of it, after a while will be shade. So that gave Job some hope. That Job said, though the skin worms eat my body, yet in my flesh will I see God. And he said, my Redeemer liveth. And one of these days he's going to stand up on the earth. Woo, what a promise. Then Job said, oh, my appointed time, I'm going to wait till a change comes. Job without a Bible. Job without a Bible and without Scripture, just looking at nature. So it ain't always going to stay winter. That tree's not always going to be without leaves. But springtime is going to come after a while. Amen. And that tree's going to produce again. The grass is coming back. The flowers blooming again. I want to preach a little hope to you this morning. Paul said, you know, they sing, I was at a place and they're singing this song. I mean, it's got a good intent. I'm not criticizing the song. It just ain't biblical. Praise the Lord. But it sounded good. You know, everybody remember hearing that song? If there were no heaven, if there were no heaven and there were no hell, I'd still be living like I do. Yeah, I just choose to be. And that's pretty snazzy. It sounds pretty good. And I'm going to tell you what. There is a heaven.
Yes, there is.
And there is a hell.
Amen. Right.
And even as good a life as you have living for God, you don't know what's going to be dealt with you tomorrow. And if there wasn't a hope, if there wasn't a hope that something better than this, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the feeling of the Holy Ghost. But can I tell you, I don't feel the Holy Ghost all the time. And I don't feel them doodads all the time. Well, praise the Lord. And an angel may wake you up every morning and say, good morning, Jesus, praise the Lord. But that don't happen to me. And sometimes dreams can get crushed.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You know, that song, The Anchor Holds, said, I've had them dreams and they've slipped right through my, just like vapors and you're trying to catch them and they're gone. And it's kind of like the old lady down there in Louisiana years ago. She's afraid of banks. And she fussed about paying tithes. She wouldn't pay tithes. Fussed about paying tithes. And she tried to figure out a place she could hide her money. She's a wealthy old lady. A friend of mine pastored her. And so she found the perfect place to hide her money. And that was in her wood stove. So she hid her money in her wood stove. Brother Mike, she came in from church one night real cold. And just real cold. And lit a match and thought, you know, she forgot all about her money. Been in that wood stove. And she set it on fire. And she was quite utterly, and it hit her what she had done. She was trying to get it out, and before she could put the fire out, it had burned all of her money up. And she went up and took those ashes up to the bank to see if she could get any of them ashes redeemed. Well, can I tell you, the bank didn't redeem any of her ashes. So I'm going to tell you, it can look like we got everything all together. And the next thing you know, we're up in ashes. I had a brother, had a good friend that pastored in Shelbyville, Indiana. He's dead now. But there was a man in the church that never, hard-working guy, never took any vacations, never took any days off, worked every shift they could give him, you know. Really didn't spend much time with his family. But he kept telling them, I know y'all are fussing, but the day I retire, I'm buying me a motor home, and we're going around the country. And so he, sure enough, he retired and went out there and bought a motor home, and felt like he had a little bit of a cold or something. And he said, I don't want to get out on the road and get sick. So he went to the doctor. And the doctor checked him over and said, you know, something in here don't look real good. And sent him for more tests. And he's eat up with cancer. Never took his trip. Just a few weeks after he retired, he died. And all the plans that he had and his good wife and his family, just in a moment's time, it was gone. So I'm going to talk to you today. About hope. Hope that is beyond this life. I'm not having a funeral service today. Sometimes the only time we preach about the resurrection is at a funeral service. But I'm going to tell you, I'm living for Jesus for the moment that I say goodbye to this world and enter into the next one. I'm thankful for all the blessings. I'm thankful for all the experiences. But there is a real heaven. It's a real place. There is going to be a real resurrection. And the body is going to be changed. Well, praise the Lord. I still believe the promise. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. With the voice of the archangel. And the trump of God and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Woo! Glory to God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. That means that Jesus wants to come right now. While we're sitting in this house, glorifying the Lord. Them folks is buried on that hill up there. Woo! Glory to God. Not even know what's going on, but before even we could even get a grasp on it, those folks that's buried out in that grave. Glory to God. That resurrecting power, that hope that we buried them with. We buried the former pastor of this church. He's buried in hope out on that graveyard. Said the coffin to be about a year. Next month. Amen, that we buried your good husband. All the various suffering that he went through and being blind. You having to take care of him and him being sick. And he kept faith and kept living for God. Glory to God. That's Oh, but I'm going to tell you, trumpet's going to sound. Trumpet's going to sound. Brother Cotton, get me Psalms 110. And maybe verse 3. I'm not really sure. See what that says. I know I'm in the chapter. I'm not sure about the verse. Psalms 110. Verse 3. Glory to God. I'm talking about hope.
Thy people shall be willing.
Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power.
And in the beauty of holiness.
In the beauty of holiness.
From the womb of the Lord.
Woo! Just like that baby comes out of the womb of its mother with that beautiful pink skin and everything so perfect. And it's crying and life is so new. And everybody's so happy. I've been out so many rooms when the baby was born. And the dad come bringing that baby out, or the nurse is showing that baby through the window. Or the midwife is passing, amen, that baby. You talk about joy. You talk about joy. You know, in that instant, that mama forgets all about that pain. She forgets all about those hot flashes. She forgets all about getting up at night not feeling good and her feet are swelling. Well, just in a moment of time, when they put that baby, amen, amen, in her arms, amen, all them cramps that she's had, and all that suffering that she had, and all that pain that she had, amen, all at once it fades into memory because she's got that baby in her arms. I want to tell you, amen, 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 his grave is going to be nothing but the womb of the morning. And all of that suffering and all of that sorrow in a moment of time. Hang in there, saints of the living God. Trouble ain't gonna last always. We got a hope. We got a hope. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy will come in the morning. Glory to God. In the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. Amen. Sister Cotton, the frail body you put in that body that was so, in that grave that was so sick, and you had to care for, and laying in that hospital room, glory to God. That ain't going to be the body that's coming out of that grave. It's anointed with the dew of the youth. In its very prime. Oh, it's a bad. In its very prime. Glory to God. You know, this boy, he don't know what aches and pains and he thinks he does. When I get up from praying here, this whole bunch row, this whole front row, I'm a grunting, getting her up around there. Amen. That's a y'all days of coming, oh boys, I tell you what. But enjoy it while you can. Man, remember when you just, you know, stay up all day, stay up all night, and, you know, it's energy and vitality, and where is this world? I'm ready to conquer it. Woo! From the womb of the morning, anointed with the dew of youth. Oh, to be young again. Oh, Ponce de Leon went hunting, fountain of youth. You know what happened to him? He died hunting for it. Glory to God. And I don't care what elixir you could buy and drink it. You're going to get old and die. Glory to God. You know, I talked to a never-die fellow years ago. Didn't believe he was going to die. And I told him, I said, you know, you better get that start kicking in. Oh, them glasses and them false teeth. That cane ain't a good sign. But if our hope was only, listen, I'm going to come back to 1 Corinthians 15, but I want to get 2 Corinthians 4. Brother Cotton, get up here a little bit closer. Sister Cotton's trying to control you there. Amen. Amen. Verse 7, and we're going to go through verse 18. Go ahead.
But we have this treasure.
We have this treasure.
An earthen vessel.
Hey! The treasure's eternal. But the vessel that's packing it around is earthen vessels.
What?
The Holy Ghost that you've got inside of you is immortal. Oh man, there's a scripture rolling around in my head if I can get it. Brother Morse, if it's 2 Timothy 1 and 10. I don't know. Oh, yeah, that's it. But is now made manifest by appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Brother, when God gave you the Holy Ghost, that's eternal life. The Greek word for eternal life is Zoe. I guess you pronounce it Zoe. I don't know. I'm not a Greek. Don't look like I got many of them around here, so they wouldn't know the difference, eh? But it means eternal life. When God gave you the Holy Ghost, He gave you that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. My body's going to get a birth, but it hadn't got it yet. But just like my spirit was reborn, my body's going to get reborn. You hear an old Kentucky preacher say years ago, you can cut my body in 1,000 pieces, feed it to 1,000 fish, and let 1,000 folks eat it. But on resurrection day, Jesus knows where every piece is at. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. This mortal is going to put on immortality. Yeah, and that's brought. My death's been canceled. I'm not going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die. Yeah, Jesus took care of that. I'm not going to die. Oh, this body's going to die. But I got the eternal life inside of me.
Yeah.
Woo! And you can't kill it.
All right.
Now we're back at Corinthians. Go ahead.
That the excellency of the power
yes.
may be of God and not of us.
Go ahead.
We are troubled on every side.
We are troubled on every side.
Yet not distressed.
But that, and we're not in distress. We just know this is life. And we're not living for the now. Well, praise. That's why everybody's songs years ago, 40, 50, 60, and 100 years ago, they wrote them hymns. They were about heaven. Now they're writing about Jesus is our boyfriend. Praise the Lord. About what all we're going to get now. Amen. You need to get your mind on heaven. Jesus said our treasure is in heaven. Amen. Where your treasure, Jesus said, and where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. And can I add this to it? I don't want to add to the word of the Lord, but if Epiphany was writing this, and where your heart will be, that's where your hide will be. Treasure, heart, and hide. Glory to God. Amen. Go ahead.
We are perplexed. But not in despair.
We're not in despair. Go ahead.
Persecuted.
Persecuted.
But not
Not forsaken.
Cast down.
We're cast down.
Not destroyed.
Not destroyed. Go ahead. Yes, yes. Yes. Go ahead.
For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake.
Yes.
That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh.
Yes.
So then death worketh in us.
Yes.
But life in you.
Yes.
We having the same spirit of faith.
Yes.
According as it is written.
Yes.
I believe.
Yes.
And therefore have I spoken.
Yes.
We also believe.
Yes.
And have therefore speak.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
For all things are for your sake.
Yes.
That the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God.
Go ahead.
For which cause we faint not.
Yes.
But though our outer man perish.
Yes.
Yet the inward man is renewed day by day.
All right. Hear it now.
For our light affliction.
Wait. Everybody say light affliction. I know I'm reading some of your mind right now. Well, my affliction ain't so light. Speak for yourself. But our light affliction, I'm going to tell you, regardless what you're going through or what you're going to go through, when you weigh that up against eternity, it's going to be light. Brother Hare's been on dialysis for nearly 7 years. He's turned black. He's bloated up. And his poor wife has had to sit there and watch him. His children's had to look at it. And that's a horrible ordeal if anybody went through with anything like that with your family. That don't seem light. I'm looking at it. It's horrible. It don't seem light. And I'm not trying to minimize that. But Paul says, when you weigh that up against eternity, woo! When you weigh, Brother Carpenter, when you weigh up what you're going to get, we're not living for the now. This is not heaven. We're not living for the now. But if you can get a picture of heaven, Paul said, whatever you're going through, it don't matter. You look what he had done. Listen, well, let me read you about his light affliction. Second Corinthians 11:23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In death oft. Of the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes. Save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A day and a night I have been in the deep. In the journeys often. In the pearls of robbers. In the pearls of waters, and the pearls of robbers, and the pearls among countrymen, and the pearls by the heathen, and the pearls in the city, and the pearls in the wilderness, and the pearls in the sea, and the pearls among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watching often, in hunger, and in thirst, and in fasting, and often in cold, and nakedness. That was his light affliction. Well, glory to God. But let me read you what he's saying when he's getting ready to die. Here in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6. He's in a jail cell. He's writing this from a jail cell. And just right outside the door, they're getting ready to cut his head off. I am ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all that love his appearing. Paul said, hey, don't you feel sorry for me? And history says, even one historian said, when they was leading Paul out of the jail cell, that he broke free from his captive and run as fast as he could and laid his head on that chop block. Well, glory to God. Amen. Because he is saying, good night, world, and good morning. He said, all that I went through is but a light affliction. Upside of what? When you weigh eternity. Woo. Woo. Paul said, I have not seen and ear had not heard, and neither had it entered in the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. Matter of fact, Paul went up there in 2 Corinthians 12 and he said, I knew a man some 14 years ago. Some folks think that's when they stoned him there and left him for dead. That maybe he really did die. And he went up there and said, I don't know. I don't know whether I was in the body. I don't know whether I was out of the body. I don't know whether it was my spirit. I don't know whether it was a vision. I don't know whether it was real. But I was caught up in the third heaven. And everybody's ear perked up to listen to what is how he's going to describe it. He said, and the things that I saw were not lawful to utter. What he's saying is, there ain't no words down here to describe what I've seen up there. Woo! Said, it's beyond. Man is so finite, and God is so infinite, that there's no way to really understand and comprehend. All right, brother, we're not through there, but where are we at?
Which is put for a moment.
Our light affliction. Man, I suffered cancer for 10 years. When you weigh it up against eternity, it's a moment. How many here have known folks that live to be over 100? I've known two people. One of them was my great-grandfather. I've known two people in my life that I personally know that they lived over 100. That's a long time, ain't it? You live 100 years, that's a long time, ain't it? Now, boy. Now, these boys think I'm an old man. They're grinning, praise the Lord. 100 years is a long... You don't hardly meet anybody that lives 100 years. But can you... Even in time, can you imagine how small 100 years is when you're looking back at 1,000 years of man's history? If you think that's something, you look at Brother Anthony's little baby and compare it up to somebody 100 years old, Sister Renee's little baby. Man, how old is your baby? 3 months? 3 months compared to 100 years? That ain't nothing. Well, you multiply that with a number that's beyond your imagination. And that's what our affliction, our time of affliction, is compared to our time of happiness and joy and bliss. You don't want to miss heaven. And I'm going to tell you, just like heaven is going to be that way, hell is going to be the same without any end or without any relief. Not going to be any relief in hell. And you're not going to want any relief in heaven. And having a body that you never get tired. Never have an ache. Praise the Lord. Oh, Sister Lou Ann that's lived to be a half a century. Amen, this year. Man alive. semi-century. Amen. Amen. Happy birthday, says Lou Ann. I got you a big box of Polydent and Jarrett Hall. Depends. Send to you. Get to be 50, you know what I mean? Praise the Lord. But ain't you glad you lived to 50? You feel good for 50, don't you? Praise God. I feel good for 62. I ain't gonna lie, I don't feel as good as I did when I was 22. But to think about it, that's when you look at eternity. Brother Davison, all of our aches and pains will be over. That's beyond our mind. Never tired, never sorrowful, never any anxiety, never any anguish. And you trade that off to go to hell to burn for eternity, you have to be a moron. Well, praise the Lord.
Worketh for us a more exceeding...
Wait. Worketh for us. Paul said, I can't get enough words to tell you how great it is, but I'm going to do my best. Far more. Woo! Far more exceeding. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Anybody ever been to them buffets, them all-you-can-eat buffets? Amen. Brother Zimmerman has. Amen. They see him coming. They try to lock the door. He gets in. Amen. And Chinese folks runs that them all-you-can-eat. You don't eat no more. You don't eat no more. Close them down. Glory to God. But, you know, and you see them. And they know they can go back. They know they can go back and get all they want. But you see folks as plates. You think they never get another shot at it. They just keep... Like them Dagwood sandwiches. You remember them? They just barely walk into the table. And they're just running over. They got somebody running over. And there's gods of it there on that buffet. They can go back all the moment, but it's just like, man, I might not make it back. That guy behind me, he's a pretty good-sized guy. I'm afraid he'll eat dog. And Paul, that's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, this is like an all-you-can-eat buffet. It's far more exceedingly. Say, it's better than I can tell you. It's greater than I can tell you. It's going to be. Woo! Glory to God! That's what kept them apostles going. That's what kept that early church going. That's what kept the church of the last century going. Their mind wasn't focused on the here and the now. If they got it, they thanked God for it, and they praised the Lord for it, and they moved on. But it wasn't this that they was camping on. Their eyes were set on something beyond. What does it say, brother?
And eternal ways of glory.
Yes, yes.
While we look not at the things which are seen.
We do not look at the things which are seen.
But at the things which are not seen.
But the things which are not seen. Because all things that look so big to you, they're temporal. Cancer's temporal. Sugar diabetes is temporal. Heart trouble is temporal. Poverty is temporal. Woo! Somehow or another, man, if you'd ever, allowed to go to a mission field, Sister Triplett's been to the Philippines. And you know, they have so little. and they're so happy. You know, because somebody told them about a better land, and they're going to see a Savior. Can you imagine? You know, we always have had all the majority of us have always had all the food we want to eat. But can you imagine living in a land where you're real slow at eating a little bowl of rice because you don't know if you're ever going to get another bowl of rice again? How you would savor the bite and savor the food. I can't relate to that, but I can't relate to this. I was over there in Brazil for a week. Now you're going to think I'm crazy. I know you're going to think I'm crazy. But you go to Brazil a week and you'll be saying the same thing. We got to the airport. I know this sounds nuts, but we got to the airport. And there was a McDonald's hamburger place in the airport. I don't even like McDonald's. Yeah. I chewed that McDonald's hamburger. That was the best thing I'd ever tasted in my... I just kept chewing it. I hope this moment never ends. It tasted so good. I mean, man, I got me another quarter pounder. I don't never do that, but I'm eating that. It's running down my chin. I ain't even wiping it off. I said, man, this is what living is all about. Poking them French fries down there, it's cooked in that beef lard, you know. I'm chewing it. The drink of that Dr. Pepper, I'm telling you. Woo! This is living, you know. After eating all that stuff all week, man. And I, my wife, we're big vegetable eaters. We like meat, but we brother, had a preacher friend used to tell me that I was like Nebuchadnezzar. If they run out of meat, I could eat the grass of the field. Because we like greens and cabbage and all that. We like men. My wife and I, we're big vegetable eaters. When you get down there, you can't eat no vegetables. No. Zero you cannot eat if you don't want to be sick. You know, you eat something you ought not eat, you get the Brazilian diarrhea. And the Brazilian diarrhea is not like the diarrhea we have here. And you keep it for about 3 to 6 months. And so they done scared me, so I was careful. I was careful what I was eating. And we passed by this big roll of cabbages. They were beautiful. And I asked that preacher, I said, "That was some of the prettiest cabbage. Why couldn't we eat some of that?" He said, "You see that ditch that's running through there? Yeah. Well, that comes out of their outhouse." He said, "Your system can't know." I know, yeah. They instantly didn't look good. Yeah, praise the Lord. But can you imagine, you know, we've always had what we wanted to eat, you know, and so if we don't get it today, we'll get it tomorrow, you know. It's not a big deal. But to have, I'm going to tell you what. Paul said, whatever you're going through, if you have to go through it the rest of your life, so what? You're not going to live that long. It's temporal. Brother Samuel's bumping up to 80, ain't you? You done hit 80. We got other saints that's hit 80. Sister Veda has hit 80. And I don't know who else we may have. Sister Groover has hit 80. And we look at them to be cover years. We look at them to be old people. You know. Because you don't know many people live to be 80. But their life have not been, but let's just say their life has been miserable all these 80 years. So they was born in a miserable home and everything they wanted in life has not worked out for them. And they've spent their whole life in nothing but total abject poverty and misery. It's temporal. Ooh. It's just temporal. But the eternal is on the way. And it ain't going to have no sorrow or sickness or heartache or pain. Have you ever been hurt by somebody? Been hurt so bad you didn't think you could even take it? Been betrayed or wounded or hurt by somebody? You just couldn't hardly stand it. Just rip and tear your heart out of you. And it's even worse than a physical illness. It just pulls something out of you that you never put back in there. I hate to say it, but there's some children that come in this world, and the people that should have loved them and took care of them yanked something out of them as a child and scarred them for the rest of their life. And even living for God and with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and Jesus loving them, there's a scar in there that'll never heal. Because parents are not supposed to hurt their children. And they live with that their whole life, not knowing if they can really trust you because the one that should have took care of them did not take care of them and wounded them. And they have that scar with them the rest of their life. And if you're like that and you're sitting in this house today, I come to tell you, it's just temporal. It just lasts like this upside of that. Weeping may endure for a night. You may not ever get away with it here to where it's totally out of your mind. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus said, Revelations 20:21-4, and God shall wipe all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for all that that's hurt you is gone forever. You're never going to think of it, not ever, ever again. It's going to be wiped totally from your mind. It's temporal. It's temporal. We don't look at the things that are seen because they are temporal. Yes, but what? The things? The things that are not seen are eternal. Now we're just going to keep on reading. Man put chapters and verses in there, and I'm glad they did. It helps us to locate where things is at. But when the New Testament was written, it was not written with chapters and verses that always ran together. And I think they did an injustice to us by putting a chapter in here and a verse, because Paul's not through with the subject. Said, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What's it say in 5:1? Second Corinthians 5:1. For we know there's one thing. We know that if the earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, don't sweat. Sister Cotton. That body that was so filled with pain, that you committed to the ground, that you loved so dear, You can't keep from hurting. The Bible don't say that we don't sorrow. It just says we don't sorrow as others that have no hope. Because when you put him in the ground, you wasn't saying goodbye. You were saying, Alex, I'll see you later. This isn't the end of it. Said, for we know if this earthly house of this tabernacle is up, we have a building of God. Yes. Yes, yes.
For in this we groan.
Yes.
We desire to be clothed upon our house.
Yes, yes. Yes.
If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked.
Yes.
For we that are in the tabernacle do groan.
Yes.
Being burdened.
Yes.
Not for that we have unclothed.
Yes.
But clothed upon.
Clothed upon. For mortality might be swallowed. If you think you're living now, you don't even have a clue. The highest pinnacle of happiness that you can reach here is the lowest valley you could get there. That mortality might be swallowed up of life. We're going to verse 8.
Now he that hath wrought us,
yes,
for the same thing is God,
yes,
who also hath given unto us,
yes,
the earnest of the Spirit.
Yes, yes.
Therefore we are always confident.
Yes.
Knowing that while we are in the home in this body,
yes,
we are absent from the Lord.
Yes.
For we walk by faith.
Yes.
Not by sight.
Yes.
We are confident.
Yeah.
I say, and willing.
Yeah.
Rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Oh, to get a hold of this. That's why. Has anybody here ever read the Fox Book of Martyrs? There's one story in that. There's several in there. But there's one story where they get a girl, a young teenage girl, and they beat her beyond recognition, trying to get her to deny her faith. And finally they bring her dad in. And the dad sees the daughter so bad that for the girl's sake, he denies the faith. And they thrust him through with a spear. And while he is dying, they throw him on a fire. And as he's burning and screaming, and the smoke goes up, the girl cries, "Dad, you traded a few moments. You traded a few moments of earthly relief for an eternity of bliss." And she left this world for the world to come. That's why them women, they marched them women into those coliseums. Women that was expecting, they took their swords and cut their bellies open and let their babies fall to the ground while they turned the wild boars loose and let them eat their children and their intestines and the guts out of them while they would not deny the Lord. And they stood there or laid there with the horrendous pain and agony of not only dying themselves, but seeing their daughters or their sons die. But you know what they thought? Goodbye, old world. The Bible talks about after Jesus had finished His work in the 8th chapter of the book of Hebrews, that He came and forever sat down at the right hand of the throne of majesty. His work was over. Redemption was over. He had completed the work. And the Bible said He's forever, forever sat down, it says. Because the work was over, brother. Brother Tom, it is finished. He's made a way. The work was over. He had done the work. But when the stones was beating out Stephen's life, and his life was leaving his body, he said he looked up in the heaven, and the heavens were open. And he saw Jesus standing. Glory to God. You know what he said? I'm going to give this man a standing ovation. I don't know all about the thief on the cross. You may. You can explain it to me after church. I don't know all about that. But I do know this. Jesus told that thief, "Verily I say unto thee, today, I think when they done it, they put the comma at the wrong place, but we won't fight that. Today, shalt thou be with me in paradise." Whenever paradise is going to be, whether it happened then or whether it happens in the future, that's irregardless. But I know one thing, when He crosses into there, He's not going to cross into paradise by Himself, because He said, "With me." You sang an old song years ago. Some of you old folks will probably remember it. It says, "I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died all my sins to atone. When at the darkness I see, He'll be waiting for me. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died all my sins to atone. When I see